السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: قد أفلح من أخلص الله قلبه للإيمان وجعل قلبه سليما ولسانه صادقا ونفسه مطمئنة وخليقته مستقيما وجعل أذنه مستمعة وعينه ناظرة. فأما الأذن فقمع، وأما العين فمقرة لما يوعي القلب. وقد أفلح من جعل قلبه واعيا. رواه أحمد. صدق الله تعالى وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, this is one hadith of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam which we commenced with almost a month ago, and then we were unable to complete it due to other programs in between. However, it is a very important hadith. It is something that is relevant to our times. It is relevant to each and every one of us. Although there are many programs tonight also, but alhamdulillah, so many of you have come here. So it shows that you have come here to listen to something that will bring about a change in our hearts, something that will give us direction in life, and something that will bring peace and contentment and tranquility in our lives and hearts. That is what we want. So therefore, this hadith of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not for the people of his time. It is for the people until the day of Qiyamah. And especially in our times, when things are moving so fast, and when the whole environment seems to be polluted with sins, with vice, with evil, there seems to be clouds of fitnas that are moving, and every one of us seems to be caught up in some fitna or the other. Sometimes it is a fitna that is related to the heart, sometimes it's a fitna that is related to our person, sometimes it is a fitna of the wealth, sometimes fitna within our home, as we were discussing the subject of fitnas. So this hadith which we had commenced, in it Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that that person whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made his heart khalis for the sake of iman, then he has attained success. We discussed that at length, that Allah Ta'ala has made that person a successful person whose heart has been secured for the preservation of this iman, and in this heart he has got iman which is khalis. We discussed that at length, and then we went on to the second part of this hadith, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that, and Allah Ta'ala made his heart qalb-e salim. So I gave you, I recall the five tafsirs of Qalb-e Salim. What is Qalb-e Salim? For those of you who are not here for that majlis, you can get the tape and follow it up there. Now we go on to the third aspect. You can put some fans on you. In the third part, Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and that person. Now who else? Who is that person who has attained success? We all say that person is very successful. So that person must have qalb-e salim, he must have iman khalis. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, and his nafs is mutma'inna. His nafs, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given him mutma'inna nafs. You have heard many times the different categories of nafs. Some have mentioned five, some have mentioned more. But three categories everybody sort of agrees upon. One is nafs-e ammara, one is nafs-e lawwama, and the other is nafs-e mutma'inna. Now this also we have discussed in the past, but just for revision purposes, that if you have to look at the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes a qasam on nafs-e lawwama. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, with regards to nafs-e ammara, he say, inna nafs-a la ammaratum bisu. Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he say, in this bisu, there is a sound of bichu. Bichu is scorpion. So he says, this nafs, it goads you on, it encourages you towards evil. That is the mizaj of the nafs, that it takes you towards evil. It enjoys evil. You don't have to give it any kind of tarbiyah or training to go towards evil. If you have a garden, and in that garden you do not weed, you do not take the weeds out, you do not trim, and you do not prune, and you do not look after the garden, then you don't have to give a speech for the weeds to grow and for it finally to turn into a big jungle. Automatically it will become a jungle. If you are going to neglect a garden, then automatically it is going to become a jungle. So in the same way, this heart of ours, in the beginning, that nafs which is ammara, we have to discipline that nafs and bring it to the level of mutmainna. Again, that example comes to mind, and I will repeat the examples if it comes to mind suddenly, which I gave many times already, and that is about that park, that where the board states that no dogs except on leash. Now that is, with Allah's fazl, it's a beautiful example if only we take it to heart and we really ponder over it. I mentioned that when that board was noticed by us, many times we noticed it and we always thought that it was that dog that comes there on, so you must put it on leash. But we failed to realize that every board gives us a message also. As believers, we take a lesson from every board that we see. Now this board also gives us a message, that why is that dog not allowed in that park where there are flowers, where there are shrubs, where there are beautiful trees and gardens, and where people are picnicking? Why is that dog not allowed unless it is on leash? Very simple reason, because there is the nature of the dog, the mizaj of the dog, that it will bark, it will bite, it will damage, it will urinate here, it will pass feces and stool there, it will, if some children are picnicking, it could even go and grab their sandwiches and hurt them and injure them or attack them. Now that is the mizaj of the dog. So therefore we are told, must bring that dog on leash. Brothers, exactly like that, our nafs, that is its mizaj. The mizaj of the nafs, if you leave the nafs and you do not train it, you do not make tarbiyah of it, we do not listen to the ayats of the Quran Sharif and the hadiths of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we do not sit in majlises of haqq, if we do not go to the Ahlullah, if we do not go in good jamaats and groups, then what's going to happen is that the mizaj of the nafs will come to the fore. And the mizaj of the nafs is to steal, to commit adultery, to commit fornication, to backbite, to speak lies, to indulge in other kinds of sins and vices. That is the mizaj of the nafs. Ammaratum bisu. So therefore we are told that put this dog on leash. It is just like that dog. That's the mizaj of the dog. So now put this dog on leash, and then you take it anywhere, there will be no problem. Now you can take this dog to the bazaar and do your shopping. You can go and run your business. You can go to the school. You can go to the college. You can go to the university. You can go anywhere in the world. You can go to the airports. But because this dog of the nafs is on leash, it is disciplined, you got the leash of Sharia tightly around the neck of this dog, then inshallah Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give this person success wherever he is. Now this is what we have to take that lesson. That have we already put that dog on leash or not? If we haven't put it as yet, then when are we going to put it on leash? That is the question that we all should be asking ourselves. So this is what, that is nafs-e ammara. That is the mizaj of nafs-e ammara. We can go into detail, but I'm not going into the detail. We've got other things to cover here. So nafs-e ammara, that is what it is going to do. All the time, there will be the thoughts taking the person towards evil. It wants to take him towards evil. Then will come nafs-e lawwama. Now this lawwama nafs, it is going to all the time worry the conscience of the person. When this person wants to go towards sin, or when he is indulging in sin, at that time, the person's nafs-e lawwama, it will worry his conscience, because he's got iman, because he has belief in Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he has iman in akhirat, he has got that knowledge of jannat and jahannam. So somewhere along the line, now his conscience is going to worry him. That is that nafs al-lawwama, that it is going to try to bring him back, that why are you going towards haram? It's not going to allow him to go towards haram because he's got a conscience, that is the nafs al-lawwama. And that is the qasam that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala takes upon that nafs, because it is due to that nafs al-lawwama that many of us restrain ourselves from evil. If we don't have that nafs al-lawwama, then we will go headlong into evil. We don't have nafs mutmainna as yet, but at least that lawwama, it draws us away. So at least to some extent, that nafs lawwama is a blessing too. So this nafs lawwama, it is something that worries that person. It says, tujhe khuda se sharm nahi aati ke tu aisa guna kar raha hai. Jis khuda ne tujhe aankhe di, kaan diye, zuban di, dil o dimaag diya, maal o daulat di, us khuda ke saamne guna karte huye tujhe sharm nahi aati. That's what that nafs lawwama will say. Don't you feel ashamed of that Allah, that you are using His gifts? His gifts you are using, His bounties you are using for His disobedience. So now this person will feel a little ashamed. It is just like that father who gives the son a car, and afterwards when that son has damaged the car or he has abused the car, then he says, don't you feel ashamed? Or the father gives plenty of money, clothes, shelter, everything, and now that son is disobedient. So he says, don't you feel ashamed of yourself? I am giving you clothes, I am giving you shelter, I am giving you a car, I am giving you money. Whatever you ask, I am giving it to you. Don't you feel ashamed to back answer me? Don't you feel ashamed to talk to me in that manner? Don't you feel ashamed to be arrogant in front of me? That is our nature. So this person, his nafs al-lawwama will tell him that Allah who has blessed you with so much, don't you feel ashamed? It is going to restrain him, it is going to pull him back. So this nafs al-lawwama is actually a great gift also of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because it is going to worry him. It is not going to allow him to sleep. If this person has stolen somebody's property, then until he has not returned it, he will not feel comfortable. If he is owing people monies, he will not feel comfortable until he has not paid back. If he has harmed anybody, if he has caused anybody any kind of injury or pain without justification, then his conscience is going to worry him until he has not asked for forgiveness. So this is nafs al-lawwama. Then when the person keeps on progressing, then he reaches the stage of nafs mutmainna. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Now he has reached that stage where everything gives him happiness, joy and satisfaction, which is in accordance with Sharia, which is in accordance with the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now that gives him contentment, peace and happiness in his heart. He's unconcerned now about what the world says and what people say and what my family says and what my society says. He believes in one thing, what my Allah says, finish. So when he's going to listen to one Allah, then he will find peace. Then he's going to find peace in his heart, because he's listening to just one Allah. There is great wisdom of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every teaching of this. It is for our own comfort, to remove our restlessness, to bring us within our hearts peace and contentment, satisfaction, happiness, joy. Therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us His ahkam, and therefore He is restraining us or asking us to stay away from that which is haram, because haram is going to bring anxieties, worries, restlessness and all kinds of problems in a person's life. So this person now has reached the stage of mutmainna. There's great discussion and detailed discussion regarding mutmainna. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi and so many others have written so much on it. But basically for us, what is important is to understand that when this person feels satisfied and happy now in the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, in the fulfillment of the rights of his neighbors, of his family, of his people, when he begins to enjoy contentment, satisfaction in charity, in sincerity, in generosity, in kindness, then this shows that this person has now got nafs mutmainna. He has reached that stage where now his happiness lies in the fulfillment of the ahkam of Allah Ta'ala. In other words, now he searches which hukam of Allah Ta'ala can I fulfill and make him happy. Like the beloved, how he searches that what is it that will please my lover? What is it that will please my lover? Or what is it that will please my beloved? The lover is in search of what is it that will please my beloved. And he wants to buy that which will please his beloved. He wants to do that which will please his beloved. He wants to wear those type of clothes which will please his beloved. In fact, for worldly women and for worldly men, how many things people do? They will even find out what kind of suit you will be wearing, or shirt and pant you will be wearing on Sunday, so that my dress can also match your shirt and pants. Or she will find out what kind of, or he will find out what kind of dress you are wearing, what color, so that I can also wear the same kind of shirt that will match yours. In other words, the person wants to please his beloved. And these beloveds will perish one day. They will turn to dust. Go and look at the qabars and the qabristan of all those who had ashiks and mashuks and who had sensual love. What has happened? They have turned to dust. There's no sign left of those beautiful faces, and there's no sign left of those beautiful cheeks and those beautiful lips. And now it is the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So what is the sense of giving our hearts for sensual love, which is haram? Yes, love your wife. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept rewards on that. So what I am saying is that when the person reaches the stage of mutmainna, then that is his object of life, that he wants to see what is it that will please my Allah. Now he knows that my Allah gets pleased with my getting up at tahajjud time. So he sacrifices that sleep of his, he throws away that blanket on the cold winter morning. He says, because my Allah loves my standing up before him. Now it's not farz, it's not wajib. Allah will not even question him on the day of judgment, why you didn't get up for tahajjud salat. But this person now, because he knows that it will please my Allah, therefore he is getting up and is making salat. He is bowing down before Allah. He's gone into sajda. Apne malik se uth kar ke faryad kar, dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar. Apne malik se uth kar ke faryad kar, dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar. So now this person knows that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be pleased with my going into sajda at this part of the morning. So he's not concerned now about his sleep, because he's pleasing his beloved Allah. And that Allah who is watching everything, Allah ta'ala is watching. Unlike the others, we do not know where the lover is and where the beloved is. He does not know what is happening here at night. And there Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows this person turned from his bed. He looked at the watch, and it was cold, the blanket was warm, and he threw away that blanket solely for my love. So you think that Allah Ta'ala does not reward that person? So now he searches, where can I find Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So what a wonderful life that person has after that. That he marries, he brings up children, he goes to the business, he eats, he drinks, he jokes, he laughs. He doesn't become a hermit, he doesn't go away onto the mountain top or divorce himself from the world. Perfectly normal, balanced life he leads. But inside his heart, the waves of Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat keep rising. Waves of Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat, they rise and they fall, they rise and they fall. And we do not know where it takes him, to which heavens it takes him and brings him back. So this is nafse mutmainna. But to get to that nafse mutmainna, there is a little effort that is required. Just a little disciplining of this nafs. And that is why, again, recall the talk which I had, I think, the last Thursday or whatever it was, that many a times the doctor stops you and prevents you from those foods and items which are 100% halal, but he knows that it is going to damage your health. So therefore it is halal, but he says don't go anywhere near it. Don't have even one more slab of chocolate. Don't even have one more this or one more that, because he knows it's going to damage your health. So it is 100% halal, but you are being prevented from halal because it is going to damage your health. So in the same way, for the disciplining of this nafs, lots of people say that whatever I see, I feel like buying, I buy it. Is it jais? Does it affect my suluk? It doesn't affect. If you feel like buying something which is halal and you eat and drink, there's nothing wrong with that. But if that becomes the mizaj of the person, that anything he sees and everything he sees is buying, and everything that he sees which he likes, he must have. So then what's going to happen is that he won't have that break anymore there. Now it will bring him to the borders, where afterwards, when suddenly his nafs will desire haram, then he'll jump over and even go towards the haram. But if he has learned how to put breaks when it is halal, it's halal. But for the sake of disciplining of that nafs, and this a person cannot just do himself, otherwise he might go on to extremes. When we say that go to discipline your nafs on your own, the person might go into extremes. He doesn't eat and doesn't drink and becomes thin and weak and feeble, and he begins to collapse after that due to hunger and thirst, and says, I'm disciplining the nafs. So we'll say, this is not right, this is shaitan which is getting hold of you. So there has to be direction. A Shaykh Kamil will tell him how much to discipline, what you must stay away from, and to what extent you must stay away from it. So that person stays away from even some halal at times. There's a strong desire for some halal, but he stays away. Why? He wants to discipline this nafs so that when it comes to haram, this person has very strong willpower to restrain itself from haram. Because that person who has learned to hold himself back from halal, it'll be easy for him to withhold himself from haram. This is the reason why fasting has been made farz in the month of Ramadan, and we are told stay away from these halal things, so that your nafs become so disciplined that after Ramadan it becomes easy for you to stay away from haram, just as you are staying away from halal in the month of Ramadan. So this is what we term as nafs mutmainna. And once the person gets that stage of mutmainna, he's mutmain, that person is satisfied, he's got contentment in his heart. He just reminds me that Hazrat Bakhtiyar Kaki Ramatullah Ali, a very great sage, Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Ramatullah Ali, he had one murid of his. And this murid also was a very great sage of this time, and he was called Baba Fariduddin Shakarganj Ramatullah Ali. He was also a very great Ahlullah. So he says that during my travels, his Shaykh was one, that was Hazrat Qutbuddin Bakhtiyar Kaki Ramatullah Ali, for his Islah purposes. But meeting the Ahlullah was like his hobby, as we may say, that he took great liking to go wherever he goes, find out who is the Wali in this place, who is the Ahlullah here, who is the Buzrug here. So he used to go and visit. So he says, in my travels I met 600 of them. He says, 600 of them who were great Ahlullah. And he was a person of heart, he had basirat, so he recognized who is the Ahlullah. So he said, all of them, I asked them three questions, or four questions. And the 600 of them gave me one answer to the four questions. He says, that was the unique thing, that those four questions all gave me just one same, similar answer. No difference in their answers. He said, I asked them, ke aqil kon hai? Who is an aqil? With an ayn and qaf. Aqil with an ayn and a qaf. He is a person who is intelligent, who got aqal. He said, aqal wala kon hai? And aqil with a small calf is that person who is an eater, as we say. So who is a good eater? So he's not talking about the person who is just a good eater. He's talking about the person who's got aqal. He said, aqal wala kon hai? Now we would have given so many different interpretations and meanings and statements or who is an aqil. He says, sab ne, 600 mein se sab ne ek hi baat kahi, ke jisne apne malik ko pehchana, wo aqil hai. The person who recognized his Allah, he is an aqil. The person who recognized his master, he is the aqal wala. Not the person who is chalak, who knows how to wriggle, and who knows how to wheel and deal, and the person who knows how to cheat and deceive, and the person who knows the art of deception, not those people. He says the person who's got a lot of degrees and a lot of qualification, all those are bonuses if the person has, but together with one thing, and that is that the person has recognized his master. He has recognized Allah, that I am his abd, I am his servant, and he is my master. I have got no right to question my master. Why did you restrain me from this? Why did you say I must not eat this? Why did you say I must not look at this? Why did you say I must not wear like this? Why did you say I must not do this and do that? The person says, I am the slave of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Whatever he says, there's great wisdom in it, and therefore I accept it wholeheartedly. And the person has got nafs mutmainna. So he said, the aqil is that person who has recognized his Allah. He said, all 600 gave me one answer. So then I asked them that who is the person that is hushyar? Who is that person who's got hosh and is in his senses, and the person is who is very clever? As you would say, who is that person that's clever, who's got cleverness, is very clever, hushyar? So he said, all of them, 600 of them told me that person, we will say, is very clever. The person who does not lose himself under any condition, he does not despair under any condition, that person is hoshyar. That the person, no matter what kind of trial, what kind of test, what kind of difficulty, what kind of problem, but he does not throw in the towel and say, no, I lose hope in life now and I rather go and commit suicide. Then that person is hoshyar. That means he believes that my Allah is powerful, he is almighty, I must turn towards him. He can change the hearts of the people in whichever direction he wishes. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can open the doors for me. He can find a way out for me in my problems and my difficulties. There is no question of Allah ta'ala being helpless. Allah ta'ala is all powerful, almighty. So this person, he does not despair under any condition. Now all of us, we come across situations in life where suddenly it makes us think that can I face this? Can I face this challenge or not? Suddenly certain things come about while we are traveling, while we are at home, while in business. Sometimes some deal goes off and wrong. Some person that was supposed to make a payment of a big amount and he fails to come and bring the monies. And now the person is in a predicament. Sometimes some child has gone astray. Sometimes some daughter has gone astray. Sometimes the wife and husband, there is a problem. Sometimes parents and children, there's a major problem. Now this person feels that there's no way out for me. He says that I'm getting tired, I'm getting fed up of life, and I rather take my life or I rather go and destroy myself. All kinds of thoughts comes into that person's mind. So then he is not hoshiyar. He says all 600 said that that person, he doesn't lose hope under any condition. He looks for where the problem is. He tries to find a solution within the framework of Sharia. He makes use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created, but he makes use of the means after turning towards Allah Ta'ala. This is where we make the mistake, that all of us, or majority of us, I am included, that the moment there is some test or there is some kind of a challenge, then the first thing we think of are all the means. The first thing we think of are all the means. If it's a financial problem, then which bank manager we can contact, and which person will give us at the best rate of interest, and which person will do this and do that. Now we think that that is our solution to the problem. Or in any other matter also, the first thing we think of the means, and then finally when all means fail, then we say, let's try Allah Ta'ala also. In other words, now that everything has failed, what difference does it make if we also make some dua also and turn towards Allah? Let's try tahajjud salat also tonight. Let's make 2 rakat salatul hajat and make some dua, because all means have now failed. Now that is not a believer's way of life. The person who has recognized his master, then first he turns towards Allah Ta'ala. He says, oh Allah, I find myself helpless. I am weak. I don't have the power and the strength. You are my creator. You are my master. You are my giver. Every bounty is from you. I am in this situation. I know that it is due to my weakness, to my sins or whatever it may be, that I find myself in this. I'm turning towards you. Find a way out for me. Then the person, now Allah Ta'ala will put into his mind certain means. Now he goes and makes use of those means. Then see if he doesn't find a solution to the problem. So this is the way that the person goes. So you say, all 600 of them told me that. He said, then I asked them that who is a rich person? Maldar kon hai? Ghani kon hai? He said, Ghani is the person who doesn't have tama in his life. He doesn't have greed in his life. The person who is not greedy for more. That more, I must have more, I must have more, I must have more. He said, that person who's got tama in his life, he is not rich. Because no matter how much he has, how many times we read in the paper that that person has got billions, and that person is owning millions, and that person has got ships and boats and buildings and this and that, but still there's no such thing as retirement or anything of that. He will still work until death, because there's no qanaat. So he said, that person who has got tama in his life, he's got greed, then this person is not rich. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also said that richness is the richness of the heart, it's not the richness of the wealth. So he says that all 600 of them said that that person is rich who doesn't have tama in his life. As far as tama and greed is concerned, it has been mentioned, Ashras ibn Tamma, in fact that's why they call him Tamma. He used to tell the children, when they used to tease him, because he's very greedy. So he used to tell the children that in that house there, down the lane, they're distributing mitai there. So now all the children, when you tell them that, he said, they're giving free mitai there, sweetmeats there, so all of you all go there, because they used to tease him. So now the little children, so they start running in that direction where he pointed out that house in the corner there. Now when he saw them running that side, he used to also run behind them. So they asked him, but when they reach there, they find no mitai there. So he said, but he was also running behind us. He said, no, the thought came in my mind that in case he may be distributing it, so make you rage out. Now he knows it was a lie, absolute lie, there was no distribution there. But that is tama and greed, that the person still ran behind those children to see if he can also get a share of it. It's like believing in absolute lies. from there it just reminds me that our condition is also that sometimes, especially we who make a little bit of namaz, a little bit of zikr, tilawat, that when a few people shake our hands and a few people kiss us on the forehead or a few people say, mashallah, aap aise hai, waise hai, then we really and truly believe that we are like that. Yet we know what the condition of our heart is. We know in how much of sins we are involved. But when somebody tells us that you are very pious, then we truly believe that indeed I must be pious. Why so many people are telling me I'm pious? So we have to be very careful and on guard. We have to check whether what they are saying is the truth or is absolute lies. As somebody went and said, he saw one person crying. He asked him, why are you crying? He was tearing one way and very hysterical. So he says, why are you crying so much? So he says, isliye ki meri biwi rand ho gayi. That means my wife has become a widow. So he says, how can your wife become widow when you are still alive? He says, you are still alive, you are married. So how did she become a widow? Why are you crying? He said, no, but the person who brought the news, he is a very reliable person. So the person who brought the news that your husband passed away, that her husband passed away, he was a very reliable person. Now he's living, but he's believing that person who brought this news that her husband passed away. So like that, we too believe in this type of compliments, that truly and sincerely we believe that indeed we are like that. So nevertheless, he said that this tama, in whoever's life there is tama, then that person definitely, he says, he is not rich. So then he asked, he said, one other question that I asked, and everyone gave the same reply, is that who is poor? He said, the person who has got no contentment is poor. So if you compare the two, it's basically the same thing. He said, the person who has got no contentment, he is poor. And the person who has got tama, he is not rich. So it's the same thing. But he said the answer was that the person who's got no contentment, then he is definitely poor. I mean, whatever Allah Ta'ala gives him, he makes an effort, he goes to the bazaars, he goes to the marketplace, he uses his intelligence, he makes use of the means. But then at the end of the day, whatever Allah Ta'ala gave him, he believes that that is what was written for me in my taqdeer. And I made the correct effort, I did not do anything that was not to be done. Now whatever Allah Ta'ala has given me, I must make shukr over it and I must have satisfaction in my heart. And now I must look at those people who have not been blessed with even this, what I have received for the day. If this person is going to look at it that way, then he will have contentment in his heart. As I recall, I think I mentioned that one buzrug, somebody, he had very high temperature. The Hazrat Maulana Azhar Ali Rahmatullah Ali. He had very high temperature. Bilal grandfather, his grandfather, it was a very great alim and buzrug and sage he was. So he had very high temperature. The Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, the Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, they went to visit him. They said, Hazrat, how are you feeling? So first he said, Alhamdulillah, aankhe salamat hai, barabar dekh rahi hai, kaan barabar sun rahe hai, zuban barabar bol rahi hai, haath pair barabar chal rahe, albatta bukhar zara tez hai. He says, my eyes are seeing well, my ears are listening well, my tongue is speaking well, my hands and feet all moving well, but together with all this, a little bit of fever I have got. But first he mentioned all those ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In other words, that contentment that I'm talking about, that this person whom Allah ta'ala has blessed with contentment, he will look at what Allah ta'ala has given to him, which he has not given to the others. And he will definitely find lots of things that he has which many others do not have. There will definitely be people who will be below him. The person who has got no sight, there will be people deaf, dumb and blind. Person has got one hand missing, then there will be two hands missing. Person got no one leg, then there will be two people with both legs missing. So there will always be somebody who is deprived of what this person has. Now when he's going to look at it like that, it will bring contentment in the heart. And this is what makes life comfortable, peaceful, satisfying. That the person has got no greed, he's got contentment, he's got peace, he's got satisfaction. In fact, that is what then leads to nafs-e mutmainna. So what a beautiful thing. So all 600 of them gave him the same reply. So here Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that qad aflaha, that person has indeed attained success. When he's got these qualities, then that is when we can say he has attained success. Not that we've got all the filth in our hearts, there's no contentment, there's no tawakkul, there's no zuhud, there's no taqwa, there's no sabr, there's no shukr, just plenty of wealth, so we say very successful. So then we must compare ourselves with the Jews. Some of them have got such kind of valuable properties in Cape Town, on the in the Bantry Bay and such places, that the person will think that this person must be very successful then, that Allah Ta'ala has given him so much. But again I repeat that if Allah Ta'ala gives a person plenty of wealth, good car, good home, but with these sifats, then he must make plenty of shukr. It's a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. We must never say that no, we don't need all that, and you know, just go and dump it in the ocean. Nothing like that. So for the rich or the poor, Shariat is so beautiful, so beautiful. Whichever angle you look at it, there's nothing but beauty in it. There's nothing but beauty in it. And it's all for our own contentment, for our own peace and happiness. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi always used to say, he says, the meaning of the majlis that he gave once, and many times used to repeat that. He said that in the ahkam of Sharia, it's not only akhirat, your dunya comes right too. Because your dunya also, the others are enjoying because of you. He said the dunya, the people are enjoying dunya, the disbelievers, they are also enjoying dunya because of the believers. Because the day no believer will be on the earth, there will be no dunya. So whatever they are enjoying is because of you. So in this world too, it's because of you. And in the akhirat, jannat is for you. So Shariat will make your dunya and akhirat right. Which, if only we can understand, then we will not go towards haram. It just reminds me that we get in the post from all these Reader's Digest and other companies, they keep sending in the post, you want 1 million and you want 300,000 and you are in line for the next. One person actually had a big party even before he received anything. Afterwards he realized he still had to win that. I gave him a lift. I was coming from Maran Hill, and on the way I gave him a lift. So he says, what are you doing? So he says, no, I'm out of job. And what happened? Well, so then he gave me his whole story. That he says, those people bluffed me. They put in the post that I won 1 million. And I thought I really won. So I had a party, I did this, I left the job, I did everything. And I waited, but nothing came. After that, they told me, no, that was still six numbers, your number didn't come out. And this is the truth, what I'm telling you. So now you can imagine. So that is the dhoka that they give. So when these type of things come, then we should not become so greedy. If it is in a halal, if it's a halal competition, where you are, where nothing haram you have to purchase, or you do not have to go for photography and pictures and all kinds of things, then, and it is a halal company also, then we will say it's permissible. I'm not saying that it is haram to win such type of things, if it is halal. But that greed that comes into the heart, see to what it leads a person. Or the hospital plans and this plan and that plan that you get, all the insurance policy offers that come in the post, that what we should really do is tear them up and throw them in the waste paper basket and believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and trust in Him. Otherwise what happens is that we go through all those things that they have offered there. That if this happens then you'll get so much, if this happens then you'll get so much. The person will go through all that. Of course if a person doesn't have that kind of tawakkul in Allah ta'ala and his iman is weak, then that is when muftis have sometime given fatwas that it is permissible to insure this or permissible to insure that. And I too will give that same fatwa to those people. But those people who are building up their iman, building up their yaqeen, and building up their taqwa, and building up their zuhud and qanaat, then we will say that build up your trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that if there has to be some loss in your life or your property or your health or your wealth, then believe that Allah Ta'ala took away some big bala. Like one small radio got stolen from the car. The person breaks the car and takes one radio away. Now this person thinks that, well, one radio went, Allah Ta'ala saved me, probably if I was in the car and they hijacked the car and they took me with, or they murdered some members of my family, then what? So one small radio went, forget about it. Now this person won't have pareshani in his heart. He won't get pareshan because he knows that my Allah Ta'ala took away some big bala, or he wants to test me. He takes away a little and he wants to give me more. Yeah. Oh, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to keep for the akhirat when you make sabr over some loss in this world. So many benefits. So will this person be restless? He won't be restless. But this person who's got this insurance, that insurance, now those who have got $1 million insurances, they're scared of their children. They must not be murdered by my son. I must not be murdered by my wife for the sake of that insurance policy. And this is not fairy tales. We have read how many cases, just for the sake of the insurance policy, planned murders of wives, planned murders of children, planned murders of husbands, just for the sake of that haram insurance policy. So look at Allah Ta'ala's hikmat. In whatever He asked us to stay away from, and whatever He declared as haram, there is great benefit in it for each and every one of us. If only we could understand this, then see how beautiful and enjoyable life will come. Otherwise, if we keep listening to the people of the world, then they will frighten us so much that they will make us ensure each and everything in our lives, our toes and our nails and our eyes and our hair. And this, that's what now they are doing. They're insuring each and every part of the body also. So these are all gimmicks of the time. We must build up that yaqeen, the taqwa, the tawakkul. And those fatwas which have been given, we appreciate that it is that to keep the person away from losing his iman. The whole purpose behind those fatwas is to keep them away from losing their iman. Because when that person is not protected or insured by an insurance policy, and if he has to suffer some great loss due to burning or looting, then this person will say, you see, I didn't insure, see what happened here. Now those people who are insured, they are getting 200,000, 500,000, and I got nothing. So I wish I had also done the same thing, but I heard some molana, or I heard some taqreer or bayan, or some waz, or some hadith, or some Quranic verse, and I didn't do it. Now this is what happened. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So it's better that person insures it than that he loses his iman. At least he'll consider that insurance as a mixture of halal, haram, riba, and qimar and everything, and he'll say it is haram, but they've given it permissible under certain conditions. But he won't lose his iman. So to keep the person on iman, that is where these fatwas have been given. Now we must not rush headlong for that. Otherwise, what is the purpose then of all these majlises, all the waz, all the nasihat, all the tabligh, all the dawat, all the khanqas and all the mashayikh and all the things, if our iman and our yaqeen and our tawakkul and our trust remains on the same level and doesn't rise anywhere above that? What is the difference then? So these majlises, this is what it is intended for. And believe me, after that Allah Ta'ala gives such satisfaction. And nothing seems to affect the tranquility of the heart. Yes, outside there could be pain, there could be no money sometimes, there could be poverty, there could be anything. But the person enjoys a kind of contentment in the heart, which cannot be described in words. How can we describe it in words? If a person has got happiness in his heart, he can't describe it in words. You will see the happiness on his face. You will see the happiness in his life. But you can't really describe what is that sensation of happiness. In the same way, these things which are contentment and with tawakkul and iman and yaqeen and zuhud and taqwa, all it is within the heart. May Allah Ta'ala give me also the heart of the Ahlullah. And may Allah Ta'ala give you also, and Allah Ta'ala give us istiqamat on our iman, and Allah Ta'ala protect us in these times of fitnas, where iman of people is being shaken up day and night. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ay Allah, humare gunahu ko maaf farma, humare khatao ko maaf farma. Ay Allah, humari lagzishon se darguzar farma. Oh, my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, my loving, caring, compassionate, kind Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our major sins and minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in light of day or darkness of night. Sins of our zahir or of our batin. Ay mere Allah, har guna ki maghfirat farma. Hum sabko sehat de, afiyat de, salamati de, izzat de, rahat de, tawakkul de, qanaat de, teri marifat de, zuhud de, taqwa de, sabr de, shukr de. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with all these beautiful sifats. Remove from our hearts pride, anger, jealousy, envy, malice, greed and all other evils. Ya Allah, bless us all with your closeness and marifat. Ya Allah, protect us in these times of fitnas, from all the fitnas that are lashing at us. Ya Allah, protect the Haramain Sharifain from all fitnas. Protect Masjid al-Aqsa, Ya Allah, from the batil schemes of the Yahud and the Nasara. Ya Allah, Palestine ke musalmanon ki aur mujahideen ki madad aur nusrat farma. Sare alam ke mujahideen ki madad aur nusrat farma. Ya Allah, bless us with all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us. Bless us, our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters and the entire ummah with that goodness which he asked. And protect us from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection from. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'aza minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa anta al-musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina wa maulana Muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.